You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, good morning to you. It is 7 o'clock right now. You know what that means. It is a Teaching Tuesday. And of course, that also means that we're going to be joined by Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Nancy, good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Steve. Hello, Hannah. How are you?
Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I am great. You know, Steve, I was thinking, I cannot believe it's been 3 years since we first met. Do you remember that night?
I do. Do I remember that night?
Yes, no,
I
seriously.
Do. So we were in the same place, and I did not know this, but I had a co-host. Notice I use the word had. had a co-host because, and she texts you and says, "Hey, Steve's at this same event. You need to go." And so I do. We have a commemorative photograph of me getting a big kiss on the cheek.
Whoa.
Because we had talked and we had done all of this great stuff, and you were actually one of the approving people in my whole hiring of coming here. You were behind all of this. And so it was a delightful time.
Oh, yes. Well, let me just put it from my perspective. I was lecturing and there was somebody with pajamas in my class, and it was you, Steve.
It wasn't pajamas. I was wearing track pants. They were track pants.
Okay, track pants are basically pajamas, Steve.
I know.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Hannah. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw in my perspective.
So I'm at a lecture, and yes, you were lecturing and I'm there, and then it's all this maneuvering happens and I'm trying to hide out, but yeah, I'm in a hoodie and track pants sitting in the back with a baseball cap on, and then I get introduced to you and it's like, "Oh, hey, you were one of the people who vetted me." Wow. How did that work out for you, Nancy? Nobody's asked you to vet anybody else after that, right?
I don't know why.
Yeah, imagine. Can't imagine.
Funny.
Well, I'm glad that we're diving into this question, because this is an important one. And I think it is one that is top of mind, because we shy away from addressing things when we do see Christian leaders, whether it is in ministry or we see them from the pulpit, however we see them, when something happens and they have fallen and we see that they are sinful creatures, just like every single one of us, what is the proper response for the church today when we see that, when we witness that, and when it happens in our midst?
Yeah, you know, it's fresh on our minds. You know, we had another one go down, and I'm sure many more to come. It's just so sad, and it's tragic when a gifted Christian leader makes these huge moral or just bad decisions or whatever the situation is, these failures. And the thing is, especially when they're made public, and then these people who have sinned, probably habitually, to be dethroned from whatever they are doing, you know, there is a price to pay for that, the shame of their sin. You know, many of them carry it to their grave. And I just think that the path of devastation of their sin, we need to talk about it as a family, as a Christian family, because the ramifications of that sin, what it does to families and friends and church members. But the greatest, I think, from a spiritual perspective, are the thousands of followers that saw them as one that they could trust and look up to, one of God's chosen, you know? And then this breaks out, and all of a sudden we see sadness and disbelief and anger, distrust, and total confusion. How could somebody, we ask ourselves, spend a lifetime of speaking on God's behalf and leading people to Jesus? How could they fall in such a spectacular way? And, you know, I think the wages of sin are great, and we need to recognize that as a church. about be careful that we don't judge, but recognize it as something that carries with it severe consequences.
So what can we learn from all this, Nancy?
Well, I think from the beginning of time, you know, God repeatedly told his, loved his people that he would go before them if they would love and obey him. That was the command always from God from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, you know, love me, obey me. And it just seems like that would be such an easy thing, but history through time tells us a different story. I've been reading through the Old Testament and Deuteronomy of all places, and I am struck with the number of times the Israelites struggled and struggled to follow God's commands. But yet on the other side, you know, they were forgiven. But what happened as a result of their consequences, even though God forgave them, there was havoc that broke out. And God's grace is greater than the sin, for sure. But again, as today, God, there are consequences for leaders that fall. And we need to do two things, help them not fall. What can we do to keep that from happening, but also extend grace? You look at Moses, and people say, well, they hate it when Christians fall and then they, you know, they receive grace. Well, let's not be so judgmental. Look at Moses. He fell when he killed an Egyptian, right? And God sent him down for 40 years. And then he used him again with Pharaoh and the Israelites left. And what happened? Disobedience. He wandered another 40 years, 80 years of wandering, Moses, yeah, is a fallen leader. But God continued to use him. That's the good story. That's the amazing thing.
Well, in all of this, you know, I think I know the answer to what we're going to say here, but honestly, should we be judging?
Yeah. I mean, really, should we be? Instead of judging the leaders, would it not be wise for all of us sinners to extend grace and forgiveness as God has extended to every single one of us? And if our sins were made public, I think we'd be whistling a different tune, those who tend to be more judgmental. God's got this. In Romans 14:12, he said, so then each of us will give an account himself to God. And that should ring true and wake up those Christians who think they're sinning and getting away with it, because they're not.
Nancy, what can we learn from this that'll keep us from falling ourselves?
Yeah.
I know. It'd be so easy if it was just, okay, so ABC will secure this. No, because God has given us all choices. And, you know, moment by moment, we have choices to follow him. But I just want to talk about a couple of them. You know, our desire to be held accountable for something is really, I think, the missing ingredient for most churches. For most Christians, you know, what would have happened, and you can pick whatever corrupt Christian leader you had, if they had asked for help from someone or a small group of people they could trust, if he could share the temptations he's facing, ask for prayer, work on a plan to overcome godly desires, if someone does not want to be held accountable, you can be sure there's something in their life that is making them unwilling to give to God, to receive his forgiveness. Ignoring sin issues will eventually lead to death of your relationship with God. Not only that, with your family, friends, and wellness to others. So this is the issue. You know, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And this is James 5:16. So scripture over and over and over again tells us, look, work with somebody, be open, be honest about it. God is a God who wants to extend grace. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. In Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And this is the thing. If your brother sins, don't pretend he didn't, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. This is Luke 17. We have got to start being accountable for our own behavior and stop giving us excuses, our self-excuses for sin because of a situation. This is serious stuff. And I think we need to be open, honest with them, but accountability is huge. And another thing that comes from this is just waging war against your sin. You know, John Owen said, if you don't kill the sin in your life, it'll kill you. And there's nothing easy about it. It's a painful moment-by-moment battle to overcome temptation. But it's a battle worth fighting because it's killing your relationship with God. And the cool thing is, I think, as we look at Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And you know, there are mountains to climb and enormous ones as we live our life. But we see here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know what? God will not push us beyond our limit. And that's a beautiful, beautiful promise God gives us in the midst of all this stuff. And then I think taking total responsibility, that's the third point I want to make about all this. Just don't deflect your sin on another person. If you cheat, you cheat. Own up to it. Work together to get over it. You know, don't blame your past or your difficult upbringing or trauma or your sin natures or Satan made me do it kind of stuff or the culture even. I think if we don't deflect and say, you know what, I don't have any excuses for my behavior and apologize for it, ask God's forgiveness for it, and you are on the road to recovery here. But we just have to ask forgiveness of ourselves and of others to make this work. But this kind of sin, this kind of stuff that causes leaders to stumble is, I think, tragic. And I know God grieves over this.
Oh, he absolutely does. Well, hey, Nancy, we're going to take a quick break here for just a moment, and then we're going to come back. I want to ask you, you know, with the things that we see in the majority of churches and in our family, just wondering where hope is, we're going to come back and address that on the other side of this break in just 1 minute.
It's Teaching Tuesday on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.
Well, the time is 7:14 right now. We're going to get back to our conversation with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. It's our biblical worldview question of the week. You know, Nancy, as bad as the times are right now in the majority of churches and in our families, it's been a tough 2020. Is there hope? Where is that hope for us, Nancy?
Yeah, you know, we talked about a month ago. Oh, we cannot wait till 2020 is over. We get into 21. Now, it's kind of like the Israelites, you know, once Moses took them out in the desert, they were crying to go back and be enslaved because it was not what they thought. And I see this 2021 is a very difficult time, probably much more difficult than 2020 in some areas. But as bad as the times are, as hopeless as they seem, should God have given up on us and the Israelites and everybody else? Yeah, from a human perspective, of course, I never understood why he didn't squish everyone and start over, but he doesn't. He's a God who forgives a lot quicker than we do as human beings. And we need to remember that as bad as it is, as big of the mistakes we've made, Jesus has not given up on us. And it's good news for those that are struggling with hidden sin and they don't know what to do. And just to know that God has not given up on us. He has a plan for all of us to bring him glory by being light to a fallen world. All is not over. We confess our sins. God forgives us and will use us. Jesus said, look, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It's set on a lampstand where it gives light to all the house. Just so, your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. That's from Matthew 5:15. This whole idea of God says, you're forgiven. Your sins are as far as the east and the west. And this idea is, come on, let's go. I love you. There's work to be done. We just simply, Christians, cannot shut our doors and hide from the world. We just can't. There's nothing in Scripture that gives us that choice. God gave us a voice. And women, God gave you a voice. And it's His word. And He calls us to use it. He commands us to go into all the world and stand strong to minister to those that are hurting, even those in our families. God called us to go out and use the voice that He's given us to bring glory to Him and hope for others. There are no excuses. You are not an exception. You know, this is God's call on our lives. This is the great news. No matter how bad it is, God is in the business of restoration. And then He says in Matthew 28, look, go therefore. He didn't say look. He said, go there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them what? To obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the day. And in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And you know, as much as we are hurt by this, this last one with Ravi Zacharias was very difficult for me personally. I knew him quite well. He was a brilliant man. He changed the life of thousands, if not millions of people. He spoke all over the world, and God used him mightily, but he was a human being like you and like me. And, you know, I think we'd like to throw him under a truck someplace, so many Christians, but it's time to say, look, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Churches, let's come together and love and forgive as God forgives us. And I think we just need to realize that as much as God hates sin, His grace is much greater than that. And that's great news for all of us. And we need to exercise it, as hurt as we are, as angry as we are, to realize that magnificent grace of God and embrace it.
Well, we have to have sin in our life in order to know the goodness and the grace of God.
Yes.
It's just how it operates. We need evil so that we understand goodness. We need the times in the valley so we can understand and acknowledge what the mountaintop means in our life. And this is God's plan. This is how He's ordered things. And that is something that we all have to acknowledge, that each one of us are sinful in our nature. And we're unworthy to be looked upon until we have the justification that is imparted on us from Christ Himself.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
We are all one in the same. Nancy, this has been an excellent, excellent question and a reminder for each one of us, because we are, as we've said, we're all sinful. All sinful. So, Nancy, I want to thank you for taking the time to prepare this and for, you know, bringing this discussion to us this morning. It is so important. I want to point people over to, here's the first place. You go to kellyandsteve.org. You go to anchorsaway.org. You find out all about it, and you will find the resources right there from Nancy. If you want to reach out, you reach out to her directly, right, Nancy?
That's right. I mean, really, we're now open and for online training, and you can go through the whole course by yourself and learn, and we'll send you a book, and you can do that. So, we just want you to learn this stuff so we can be lights. We really need to be lights. And unless you have a solid faith and unless you get some of your questions answered, it's just harder. So we've provided, you know, all of our Moody radio time is on our website and in your website under Kelly and Steve. So please go and visit, get your questions answered, and turn on the light. Let's go.
Thank you so much, Nancy. We really appreciate you joining us today and sharing on this topic that I know is close to many of our hearts and is a hard thing to work through.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right, Nancy, thanks so much. We're going to get a check now of the weather with Randy Ollis. As I said,